Welcome to a brand new season of Motorsport 101, brought to you by GameStop. I missed you guys too. Welcome to episode 287 of Motorsport 101, and our first episode in what's technically, I guess you could say, a brand new series. Hello, everybody. We missed you. It's nice to have you back. We got the usual motley crew here. And, I miss motorsport. So we're going to actually get some this weekend with the Rolex 24. But we'll talk all about that in a minute. We'll also be catching up with a bunch of news. But a certain member of this panel insisted they sing the set list on this first episode back. And that person, can you guess which one out of the other three of our hosts here wanted it? I'll give you a hint. It's not King. RJ, I think this is the part where you come in.
No, I was certain that Johnson had this one. I was certain that he was going to be my musician, just playing the upright bass in the background while I do Mitch Hedberg lines.
Oh yeah. So we didn't get the full orchestra available.
No, not the full orchestra. It's just going to be like, I don't know, karaoke tracks off of YouTube.
Sure.
Of varying quality. It's good to be back. We learned a lot this winter break. We had capital sieges. We had stock market manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
We had presidential inaugurations. We had on and off cycles of lockdowns. We had a lot.
Still trapped indoors. Still can't really do shit here, and we probably will be till at least the second week of March. Way to go, Boris! Way to celebrate 100,000 dead in this country. Way to fucking go.
Gavin Newsom, don't interact.
Also with me, now with a fresh trim, is Ryan Eric King. I'm extremely jealous of him.
Yes, I'm glad that I should point out at this point that we are recording this. The stock market seemed stabilized, and the world's economy was not taken down by a subreddit full of rogue traders.
So. What a sentence that is! Could you imagine saying that sentence a week ago? Yeah, the stock market and the economy didn't entirely collapse due to a bunch of angry subredditors. Which, honestly, sounds like the least and most 2021 thing all at the same time. It's terrifying to even consider. Also, the man that's about to bury himself in a pile of sneakers, Cam Buckley. Hello, sir.
Yep, I am preparing for Nike's onslaught in February of release after release after release. I have to say, regarding the stock market, I'm disappointed that it's not blowing up the economy, so Kraft can't go bankrupt. For their horrible Valentine's Day pink mac and cheese.
Oh.
It tastes like candy.
I do not buy mac and cheese for it to taste like candy, RJ.
This is going to be a confession, but as recently as a month ago, I've had Cheetos Flamin' Hot flavored macaroni and cheese. And I got to say it was... It's sustenance.
It exists.
I feel terrible that I've eaten that. And I love hot stuff, but that was a mistake.
That's shameless. You hopped on the wagon of Cheetos putting Flamin' Hot into everything in America. I've seen this trend. Like, it is disturbing. And now we've got pink mac and cheese that tastes like candy. We've been gone for far too long. We need the podcast to come back to restore some semblance of normality. Before we
start, I do want to say that... GameStop and Nike are not sponsors of Motorsport 101, but you can sponsor us with your patronage.
Indeed, you can. You can back us financially on Patreon, patreon.com/Motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our caught-up shows, video and audio, and when we are fully caught up again, it'll get you the audio editions at least 24 hours early of every Motorsport 101 we record. You can upgrade to the $10 version as well if you want the video form of the podcast early, as well as access to the supporters club of our Discord server where you can listen to these episodes live as they're being recorded. We have a stacked room in front of us here for our first episode back in late January. Shout out to Vic, to Finley, to Jason, to Sasha, to Rezzy, to just and to Zoe as well. Thanks all everyone for tuning in. Much appreciated as always. Places you can also find us on the good old wholesome social media or on youtube.com/motorsport101. I made a video on there about a week ago now, or actually about 4 days ago, talking about Lewis Hamilton and the fact he's a free agent, which we'll also be talking about at the top of the news segment very, very shortly. It kind of blew up. It got 35,000 views. I don't know how that happened. I think some of right-wing YouTube must have added to it, because the comments are a trip, to say the least.
That's being very generous.
Oh, boy.
Good Lord.
I think the word cesspool, I think, is a solid way of describing it. But hey, all views are views. So thanks, everybody, who watched it.
All views are views.
Hey.
Am I wrong here?
Content engagement is content engagement.
Look, over 200 people saw that video and subscribed to the channel. I am not complaining. There's a lot of good to go with the bad.
That's true.
Truly a case, as Vic in the Discord says, of all views matter. So thanks to those guys on that one. that one went down well. We're on facebook.com/motorsport101, or on Twitter at motorsport_101 as RJ takes a bath and Cam's about to leave. Our personal handles are on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube, in the description down below as well. But if you're listening to us on audio, they're at Harrison101HD, at Ryan Eric King, at RJ O'Connell, and CBuckley917. Check us out if you haven't already. Follow us on our personal handles there. All of those details, including our Instagram page, and we're on Instagram as well, at Motorsport101Pod, sneak peeks, little clips, notifications when next new episodes are available, all of that good stuff, that's on there as well. And all of those details and much more are also on our website, motorsport101.com, where I put a really fun post up this afternoon talking about what would happen if Formula 1 would be a draft. I made all my money in Bitcoin and decided to buy the sport. If that sounds like a nightmare to you, I say keep reading. It's fun.
Now, the nightmare would have been if you bought F1 through GameStop. That would have been the nightmare.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yes, that healthy, profitable business, GameStop, AMC,
we're gonna make
Blockbuster
it totally,
liquidations.
We're going to make it legal to use used cars from the previous year.
Ooh.
Welcome back, Super Aguri.
But you're only going to get $2 million back if you bought the car for $20 million.
Sounds like a good deal.
Only in store credit.
Yeah, only in store credit.
Yeah, if you get it in cash, it's just 1.5.
Yeah, of course. It's like gaming the UK all over again. I miss those days. so all of these are on our website. I said motorsport101.com. Check it out if you haven't already. So we'll be talking about the Rolex 24 very, very briefly. But first, after this quick musical break, we'll be talking into the news. And there's a lot of it to get through as well, so it should be fun. So, folks, we are going to take it from the top here. RJ, the floor is yours whenever you're ready. This will be fun.
Yeah, because we have a lot to catch up in the last 4 weeks. So I felt I would treat you all to a song.
Treat, he says. Oh my god. When you're ready, Audra.
Sir Lewis Hamilton not signed, Aston Martin just arrived, Norton clear test positive, Mazepin doubles down. Straight at China, they're delayed, back to Imola they say, but not to Portimao, where MotoGP's gonna play. Davide Brivio off to Alpine, not Renault. Jensen Button's coming home, Williams surrogate dad. GT3's for Albon, or is that DTM? Rally Monte Carlo, OJ wins again. Thank you for all your patronage. Podcasts are gonna come faster now that Dre's got a new rig. Patreon.com. It's /motorsport101. It's fun. I am taking this podcast into the toilet with me. James Hinch, Clavette Jones, No Ferrucci, Les Mario, Pareto Auto Sport, and Penske Simona's back in town. Peacock Premium, NBCSN is gone. Pitbull's in the NASCAR house. Do it for Dale. USA, Argentina, Santiago, Ardelaine, MotoGP, Double Catarata, Satiate. LMDH Hypercar, O1 Obadge GTR, Super GT H24, F2, F3, and F4. Who left me in charge of this? Corny parody of Billy Joel's hit songs. We promise actual content. What this measure mercifully finishes up.
Cam, I think it's safe.
Staring out my window, wondering what life choices brought to me.
How did we get to this point? This is the seventh year we've done this podcast. How has it gotten to this point? Like,
we're,
you know,
back,
it's bad,
baby.
You know it's bad when Jason literally put in the supporters club, I'm removing my $10 pledge.
The last time I drank Hennessy on the show, it was in celebration. Now it's to cope.
I need a drink. I need a stiff one. Whose idea was this?
That was mine. I took executive direction. I pulled rank as a senior co-host of the podcast underneath King and above Cam.
King, as a safety measure, if he ever tries that again, boot him out of the server for our own security. Are we clear?
Who do I look like? Chairman of the Federal Reserve?
Yes! Do what you've got to do. If you're still here after that, first of all, I applaud you. Two, I'm not paying for your ear insurance. And third of all, let's break down some of these terrible lyrics into actual news stories that are slightly worth covering for the next half hour or so. And RJ, you're officially in timeout.
That's fine. I'm going to go get myself a drink.
Stiff one. I recommend absinthe. Right, so first and foremost, like, this is probably the most important one that's been talked about a lot lately. Totally not by me. King, why is Lewis Hamilton still a free agent?
I don't know. I'm just blaming COVID, not gonna lie.
You know,
shit's weird.
That actually might genuinely be a reason, because I actually saw Toto talk about this a couple of days ago, and he actually literally said that, yeah, I had COVID, so I was indoors for a couple of weeks. So that probably didn't help him to actually, you know, do work, given he was bedbound and whatnot. So, yeah, that probably actually was a factor in all of this. Lewis Hamilton is literally in the mountains training, like the segment in Rocky IV at the moment. If you've been following him on Instagram, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about here. He is literally in the mountains training, cross-country skiing and all that shit. Like, it seems to me like the last thing these guys are doing is negotiating a contract. Apparently,
again, it's 2 months to the start of the season, Dre.
This is unprecedented. I mean, we've not had a driver of his stature and profile still not tie down what seems to be the most guaranteed seat in motorsport and we're now like 3 days from February. It's strange.
I mean, but that just gives them reason not to sign because it's so guaranteed. It's like, who are they gonna replace him with? Like, the ball's in his court.
Exactly.
I was about to say, if I could come out of timeout for a bit, that, like, the last time we saw anything like this was when Ayrton Senna was racing on handshake deals for the entirety of 1993. Sorry, Valtteri Bottas, you're the Michael Andretti in this analogy.
Not wrong, though. But yeah, like I said, it is strange. I mean, generally speaking, we joke about silly season. In the nature of most motorsport calendars, we normally have half the grid in place by September. Like, after the summer break, we kind of have a good idea where most of the seats are going. We're now late Jan and Hamilton still isn't tied down. But as King points out, that's probably part of the reason why he hasn't signed, because what's the hurry? He's got to the middle of March, you know, so he could sit back, relax, try not to get COVID while trading for Ivan Drago, and He'll have a nice smooth time about it, but I don't think he's got anything to worry about here deep down. I just think it's a matter of what's the hurry, more than anything else. Apparently it's all being done via their lawyers, so that's always fun as well. So if that doesn't work out, we'll get Legal Eagle on the case to do a video about it. That should also be good. we actually got official confirmation during the downtime. Lewis Hamilton is indeed going to be knighted, so congrats to him. We now might have to call him Sir Lewis Hamilton. So
that's, give Lewis Hamilton a sword!
Why not?
I don't think that's how that works.
He already has one. It's called the Mercedes W11.
I say give him a sword that he can carry on him, like holster style, all times around the paddock.
Indeed. Congrats to Sir Lewis on that one. That's fun.
All jokes aside, it's awesome. It's been due. Some would argue it's been overdue, but if ever every time he was going to get it, breaking all the records and making people think about stuff outside of motorsport, now is as good a time as any.
Agreed. Good to see. Yeah, you know, it seems to be a trend where guys are now getting them while they're still active in competition. Like Mo Farah got one while still competing. I think Bradley Wiggins did. I know Alistair Cook did in cricket as well. So it's becoming a bit of a more recent trend where they give it to more active dudes. But, yeah.
Yeah, and to point out, quick America's Cup update for one Sir Ben Ainslie. Remember at the end of the last episode, my preview was that that Ineos Team UK and American Magic would both get destroyed. Well, I was half right.
Yeah, because American Magic's Patriot was quite literally destroyed.
Beautiful.
You want to know who one of the New York Yacht Club's sponsors were for this round of the Americans Cup?
BMW.
Airbus.
Oh.
You want to know how the Patriots suck? Catching air on a bad wave and crashing down to the surface beneath them.
To be fair, the BMW sponsorship could still apply. I'm sure Bill Oberlin would tell you all about it.
I only have one thing to say to King in response to this, is the anti-sailing guy on this show.
Oh, wow.
You remember that whole bit from last year where we rhetorically ask if Ferrari improved the car, knowing damn well they were never going to improve the car? Well, apparently Ineos Team UK actually improved the boat.
Yep.
Damn them!
Adrian Newey, in-season development. Unlike in Formula One, it works in boats.
And they beat up an Italian team to get there.
Yep.
Some things never change from F1.
No. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Worth mentioning as well, dear Formula One drivers, if you are going to go on training camps or vacations in other countries, try not to catch the Rona. That would be ideal. Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc, I am looking at you. Don't do that. And if you're going to do it, don't put pictures of it on social media so people will call you out on your shit.
Yeah, for those who don't know, both of them did contract the Rona. Thankfully, both of them are okay. They've both since tested negative and are back to working with their teams. But take this seriously, guys, please.
Yeah.
The privilege, I swear,
of showing. some of these youngsters, share the same two brain cells, I swear.
Not wrong.
Well, to be fair, what's Hamilton doing right now? He's in the mountains. He's gonna make himself as remote as possible from the rest of the world.
He's got a whole ass mountain to himself. That's way more than the 6 feet minimum.
Yeah. See? Hamilton's outgunning him in training camps, too. One step ahead of the game. That's why he's 7-time world champion. Also, still kind of irresponsible. But hey, whatever works, right? We're subjective in how we criticize people for this. But guys, don't catch the Rona, please. Stay indoors if you can. That would be nice. Also, I mentioned this. A certain Nikita Mazepin, I have to mention this briefly, claimed that the reason why he's been getting so much shit on the internet is because apparently people don't like Russians.
This isn't a Bond film, you dumb sack of shit.
Nikita, I've prepared a brief statement in response to Nikita Mazepin's words about that. Shut the fuck up.
What he
you
said.
You groped a woman.
Like, it's like, I still find it amazing that, like, in this, like, he says, oh, no one likes Russians. Who's had more genuine sympathy and empathy for his current plight in F1 in modern times than fellow Russian Daniil Kvyat? And who's one of the most popular guys on the junior scene right now? Robert Schwartzman. Like, who
both
is literally
very popular, both with their own sets of fans.
And extremely likable. Like, and Robert,
I think they share
problems, you buddy.
I think the common factor with Schwartzman and Kvyat is that, so far as we know, they haven't groped a woman and then put it on social media.
Yeah. Daniil Kvyat's going through a hard time. Like, I don't want to dwell on the whole Kelly PK Max Verstappen thing. Daniil Kvyat, Max Verstappen is just putting that young man through so much misery.
Like, have you ever seen the cutscene in the first 15 minutes of Need for Speed Most Wanted when Razor comes out of his window and says, first I'm going to take your car, and then I'm going to take your girl? Yeah,
somehow in the year of our Lord 2021, Need for Speed games are predicting real life.
It's true.
Yeah, but moving on to more serious matters. International motorsports delayed.
Again?
I couldn't have seen it coming.
Yeah,
no
Formula
way.
One's season. Yeah, Formula One's season opener in Australia delayed. Formula E's season opener in Santiago, Chile delayed. IndyCar's season opener in St. Petersburg, Florida, also delayed.
Home of the WWE for the time being.
Yeah, MotoGP season opener in Qatar also delayed, only by a whole week. Mostly because their Sepang test was called off. Because they were literally going to fly out to Malaysia the day the country declared a state of emergency due to a rise of COVID cases. And they shut the borders down, as you do. So they managed to rearrange everything. And so Formula One rise, we're now starting in Bahrain on March 28th. There'll now be I think it's going to be a test in Bahrain as well. I think 2 weeks earlier, I want to say. And it's going to be in Bahrain instead of Catalonia, where it normally has been. So, you know, keep everybody close together and all of that. MotoGP season opener will now be a double header in Qatar instead, two races back-to-back on March 28th and April 4th, I believe, because they've had some calendar issues of their own. We're not racing in the Americas this year. The Circuit of the Americas round, unfortunately, has been postponed until the back half of the year. We'll see if they fit it in later. Also, their race in Argentina is not happening until, again, second half of the year at best. They've had to do some rejigging. We're not going to have a race in Brno this year, it sounds like, unfortunately, because their track is in the middle of being resurfaced. And it's not going to be ready for their usual slot. But we are going back to Portimao in April. Hooray!
Yeah.
Excellent news.
And not just them, but WEC as well, because Super Sebring, Take Two, isn't happening this year.
Yeah.
But I knew that already.
Yeah, I believe the Australian Grand Prix in the case of Formula One has now been moved to, I want to say it's November, towards the back end now.
Yeah, so it'll be one of the later rounds of the season. And I've also seen reports that that Saudi Arabia will be the new season finale in December.
Ooh.
Oh boy, if there's been discourse about a finale at Yas Marina, just turn that shit up to 12. If we have a season in Saudi Arabia,
that
a brand new
about
street
600
track.
Pounds of pure USDA prime mid.
Extreme mid. All the mids. Hey, that's what we're here to see. Also, IndyCar's had a couple of reshufflings, as mentioned. They've moved St. Petersburg into April on that one. So, yeah, I believe there's a new opener instead. So Alabama, I think, is now opening the season.
That's right. Barber Motorsports Park opens the season. We're back, baby. I know I don't live there anymore, but it's still my home race.
What's this wee shit?
Yeah, it's like, so Barber Motorsports Park will open the season now on April 18th. And to compensate for that, they've moved St. Petersburg to the week after on April 25th. So basically, we're all going to have to wait at least an extra couple of weeks for our motorsport when it rolls around again in March at best. In IndyCar's case, it's more like a month. sigh.
We got time.
We got time. We got nothing better to do. We're literally watching the movie here next week, for Christ's sake. I mean,
we're supposed to tell them. It's supposed to be a surprise.
I never said which film, though. We could still have Driven in the back wardrobe for all we know.
Oh, God, no.
No, no, no.
Look,
it
don't
damn
all
well better
just...
not be no Driven.
It's gonna be Driven.
No, 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 no,
let's
no.
Let's just move on. Let's just move on.
More MotoGP news. Davide Brivio is confirmed to be leaving Suzuki MotoGP.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This was a complete out of left field surprise.
News.
Yeah, Davide Brivio, the man who has basically single-handedly led Suzuki to their first world championship in 20 years in MotoGP with Yoann Mir, is leaving straight away to go to Renault. He's going to be one of the directors over there in the new, should I say, Alpine Formula One team as part of their rebrand. And Cyril is gone as part of the restructuring.
Yeah, Cyril's not just gone from the F1 team. He is gone from the company straight up.
Yeah. That's interesting. I know the man had very bold ambition in that he claimed he was going to win races within 5 years of Renault being back. Didn't quite get there. Came close. Not seconds, all right. Yeah, a couple of times, you know. Both guys got a second. It wasn't terrible, but probably a bit too lofty. As Finley jokes in the Discord, I think it would be quite funny to see if he maybe got out of the neck to avoid getting that tattoo he was promised. No Citroen badge on the tramp stamp, unfortunately. Davide's going to be heading over there to be one of their directors and people managers, I think. He's not going to be directly in charge of that, but he's going to be one of the people, managers in there, and that's a great fit. Because if you ask anyone in the Suzuki camp, they will tell you about how much they love Davide. Like, he's one of those guys that everybody just loves. And like I saw Marins and Mir on Instagram have lengthy tributes to the man on Instagram, talking about what a great manager he was, what a great team person he was. And this is a man that's had ridiculous success, not only with Suzuki, but also Yamaha in MotoGP as well during their prime years.
Not a coincidence that his time at both Japanese manufacturers coincided with taking a team that really wasn't all that great and turning them into champions.
I should also
correct Dre. He is team principal, Dre.
Okay.
He has fully replaced Cyril.
Okay, I should say I wasn't sure on some of the positions. I know they've done a bit of restructuring. I wasn't 100% sure. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate that. Davide's team principal, and going from MotoGP to Formula One, that is going to be very interesting. I can't remember the last time seeing something so unprecedented from a guy jumping over from two wheels to four like that. So
the last time I can remember something like that happened was like when Joss Capito jumped from Volkswagen's WRC team over to McLaren, which lasted all of a hot minute.
Mm.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking is actually in reverse when Stefano Domenicali was removed from Ferrari.
Yeah.
Spent a couple years downtime and then went to run Ducati.
Yeah, very true.
To tie up that Joss Capito story, he's now CEO of Williams Racing.
Yeah, which is a fantastic pickup. Same deal with Capito. Everything he touches seemed to turn to gold in the last few years. He was really more of a victim of McLaren just cleaning house late 2016 when they ousted Ron Dennis and company. So it's good to see him back in F1, and I think he's going to do some good things with Williams. Speaking of Williams,
they have a new dad.
Jenson Button, Benson Jutton is back as an advisor.
Yeah, it's like Michael Schumacher being a super director all over again. It's like, what does a super director actually do?
He directs, anyone? But super.
King, you're the smart one here out of us. Do you know what a senior advisor does?
hey, guys, like, why are you should be doing this, not this.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like a big old vanity roll from where I'm sitting, but hey, what
especially
do I know?
When you consider Jensen Button's history with Williams and that whole chestnut in the early 2000s.
I think they patched it up, though.
Well, yeah, it's almost like they completely gutted the team and installed all new people running it.
Yeah, oh, you know.
Which also translates to them ditching the whole privateer running or death strategy, and they will take Mercedes rear ends from 2022 onwards.
You sure about that? Yeah, what happened to Tracing Point, right? Sorry, Aston Martin. but yeah, Jensen's back.
Mercedes Racing.
Yeah. Jensen's a busy man. He says he's still going to be a Sky Sports F1 pundit. He's going to be a senior advisor at Williams. He's racing in DTM this year. He's now also going to be racing as one of the drivers in a new Extreme E team he owns.
Driver owner.
Yeah, like Jensen's become one of the busiest dudes in motorsport now.
Even the wildest Extreme E story to come out of this week, because Chip Ganassi's bringing a Hummer to Extreme.
Just think of this like this. Hummer, racing brand.
My God.
No, you forgot Hummer, electric racing brand.
What a sentence. What a sentence. My God.
You know, he is a brand representative again, as he was famously during his rookie year in the NBA. Can we get LeBron James in Extreme E?
Why not? He already owns a part of Liverpool. Why not? You know? It could be something fun to add to his portfolio. Also, my God, like an electric racing Hummer. I don't even know what to make. I saw the picture of it when they made the announcement, and I was like, what is that? It's like...
run by Chip Ganassi.
Where do you even start with this? Like, there's so much to dissect here. Chip Ganassi wants to race at Extreme E. Okay. General Motors wants to go racing. Cool. With the Hummer brand. A Hummer powered by electricity. I just...
building a new production Hummer under the GMC brand that has 1,000 electric horsepower.
Is that why the logo's now blue? It's like, oh, yes, it's
exactly.
Electrical.
That's why GM has their new garbage, no good, very bad logo.
It's like a bad Adobe logo. It's just like, why?
I could have made that.
There's so much to break down here. I can't believe I'm talking about an electric powered Hummer. I just think, like, all the jokes you've made about Hummer
also,
over the years.
We need to also keep in mind, Extreme E is a spec series, so all it will be is Hummer stickers and badging on a spec car.
Right.
But it's still just—it's still surreal.
Indeed. Also, side note that was in the set list. They also confirmed Stefan Sarrazin's going to be JB Chadwick's partner over there at I think it's the Veloce team over there. So good for them.
Good pickup.
Good pickup indeed. So yeah, that's going to be fascinating to watch.
Speaking of fascinating to watch, we have the landing spot in the Red Bull family for Alexander Albon. DTM in the new GT3 era with Red Bull Ferrari?
It's a strange week.
Yeah, you just buy a Ferrari. It's not hard.
Just go to the showroom. I'm sure they'll set one up right up for you. So Alex Albon is going to be driving in DTM this year. We didn't get to mention this in the last show. He's going to be over there, as is Liam Lawson as well. He's going to be over there racing in DTM alongside his Formula 2 schedule, because there are no clashes in their respective calendars. So good to see Alex Albon still be doing some racing somewhere, as well as the simulator. But yeah. Interesting stuff on that
one. It's just not as exciting when he's not, when he doesn't get to drive Super Silhouettes.
I know. Also, expect to see him this weekend in the Virtual GP series, because we're doing esports again, everybody.
Yeah,
that went so well the last time.
Oh, it did.
George Russell's going to kick everybody's asses because he has genuine esports level pace.
Mahavir Raghunathan on a controller.
Nothing makes sense anymore. We had pink mac and cheese and Jack Villeneuve playing R Factor with a pad. Nothing made sense last year. Okay? Oh, dear. Right.
Oh, my God. Rally Monte Carlo. Death taxes Sebastian Ogier.
So moving on. 1-2.
Moving on.
That's all there is to say. The man is ageless. He's never going to stop winning unless he retires.
Indeed. His 50th career rally win. Congrats to Sebastian Ogier. Could you please give us some mercy for the rest of the field?
Well, he promised everyone he's definitely still retiring at the end of the year.
But he promised that last year.
Bullshit!
Winning championships is a hell of a way to put off your retirement.
It helps. Just saying. So yeah, congrats to him. We've got a couple of IndyCar reshuffles to talk about as well. We got the news last week that Marco Andretti is no longer going to be racing full-time, at least for now, in the series. He's going to be reducing his schedule to becoming a part-time runner, which includes the Indy 500 and maybe some other races somewhere along the calendar. There's not been confirmation of that yet, so Marco is going part-time. I'm pouring one out for Zoe in the Discord right now. God bless
her. He did mention, though, he does want to take a step into other series such as IMSA. So yeah, we'll see where that goes, because back in the good old days of LMP2 and LMP1 battles, he was actually a damn fine prototype driver.
Looks like it, certainly. So yeah, that's going to be fascinating to keep an eye on, certainly. His replacement in the 29 car, it's the return of everyone's favorite comedian. James Hinchcliffe is back full-time in IndyCar.
He's back. In the
citizens of Hinchtown, celebrate.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hinchtown, this is for you!
Well, also, to correct Dre, Marco Andretti does not drive the 29 car. He drives the 98 car. They haven't announced a driver to fill out the other part-time dates in Marco's car.
It's confusing in that Andretti setup sometimes, I swear.
I'm almost wondering, the way the announcement sounded almost sounded like it will just be an extra Andretti car for a couple of races.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they've got four...
It makes sense with the way Andretti overextended themselves last year, because running that many cars was just... I think they just overextended.
They got
the
four cars already. It's fine. Hurt is in the 26 now. They have Rossi, they have Hunter Ray, and now they have Hinchcliffe.
Like,
and they're all sequentially numbered now.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all uniformed. It's great. And if your fourth driver in your team is James Hinchcliffe, that's a hell of a depthful team right there when you've got him, Colton Herta, Hunter Ray, and Alex Rossi alongside. It's a very, very stacked setup indeed. Hinchcliffe will be doing 10 races under the Genesis marketing for his car, but he'll still be doing the full season. It took me about four goes to actually make that.
To be fair, you were not the only one that just thought, wait a minute, is he doing just 10 races? No, it's a full-time schedule. He's just got one sponsor for 10 races and the rest are up for sale.
Yay!
Also, Scott McLaughlin is sponsored by PPG Automotive.
Nice!
Which apparently to some means that every bad thing is going to happen to him this rookie season.
Well, look, every time a Penske car runs a PPG livery, terrible, awful things happen.
Ryan Blaney is the exception and not the rule.
No, that's where Ryan Blaney always has a bad day.
Let's think. Well, with Cam being a Simon Pagenaud stan, he knows more about that more than most.
for Simon to perform well, you just need to paint the car so you can land an airplane from fucking space with it.
Yeah, sure. Highlighter pen yellow works just fine. That's always fun. We got the news today that Dale Coyne, we've got Ed Jones coming back.
Yep.
Nice! Brits!
The pride of Dubai.
The struggling Emirati.
This depends on which week it is.
Depends if he tests positive or not.
Oh, God.
I do like this move. Ed Jones was fire at Dale Coyne.
He was.
And he's a much more likable than the last guy that was driving the Seal Master car, who, because he ran out of money, can only afford 2/3 of a NASCAR Xfinity Series schedule.
Oh no. What a crying shame.
Oh well, at least when he drives like a dickhead over there, it'll be commonplace.
Yeah. Probably. Good luck, Santino. You'll be needing it. Also, great to hear that we got a very cool woman coming back for the 500. Simona Di Silvestro will be back.
Simona is back.
With Peretta Autosport, in collaboration with Penske, they'll be providing some support over there as well. Simona's back. Yeah.
I love this. This looks like a much more... This, of course, makes up for the whole Grace Autosport debacle.
Mm.
This is a team that's going to get serious technical backing. The car, if you haven't seen it, looks nice. It looks like some of the old Valley cars.
Livery looks fantastic.
And we kind of forget that Simona Di Silvestro punched well above her weight given the god-awful equipment that she was given throughout her full-time career.
Yeah.
I think she could do really,
if you weren't watching
really well.
Back in the start of the DW12 days, her career fell prey to the terrible, no good, very bad Lotus Judd IndyCar engine that was so bad that every single team in the series ditched it out of desperation before Indianapolis, all except one, the one team remaining to fulfill Lotus's contract. Hers.
Yep. And John Alesi's.
Well, John Alesi was a one-off.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm stoked for this.
Yeah.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully she does very well.
Yes. Now, major broadcasting news coming out of IndyCar as well, because it's been
not just IndyCar.
Yeah.
All American Motorsport, really.
Yeah, American Motorsport, and some sports entertainment as well. It's been that sort of hectic week regarding a certain streaming platform, i.e. Peacock and its premiums network, part of the... I believe it's the NBC networking. Help me out. You're the American. Help me out here.
Yes, NBC Network.
This was on the biggest open secret in sports broadcasting in the U.S. that NBCSN was on the chopping block. As Vissi announced, at the end of the year, NBC Sports Network would no longer be with us, meaning that there would no longer be a broadcast home for a majority of the IndyCar Series season. And as well, various different forms of sport from the National Hockey League to a broadcast channel for the Olympic Games, that would all be gone at the end of the year, meaning that they need new avenues to show these sports they still have contracts for. And one ongoing contract is with the IndyCar series, and they broadcast IndyCar practice and qualifying, as well as Indy Lights on IndyCar Gold, which is pretty much like a direct streaming service. And it was pretty redundant at this point with Peacock launching last year, meaning that instead of having IndyCar Gold this year, they are pushing all that content to Peacock.
And thank God that they're doing that, because you know how much of a just money sink, useless, bad value IndyCar Gold was. Not only do you have to pay more for it, they don't even get the race sessions ad-free if they're on television with ads.
Yeah, you don't get to watch the races on IndyCar Gold. And just for Indy Lights, Indy Lights practice and qualifying was roughly $10 a month just for that.
And they didn't even have Indy Lights this past season, so it was even more of a money sink.
Yep. And considering on Peacock, you get Peacock ad-free for $10 a month, which gets you, obviously, the IndyCar coverage that we just talked about, but gets you pretty much everything in NBC's archive.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fun. Yeah. Also, good news if you're a WWE Network subscriber, because they're moving all their content over there as well. The network is moving exclusively over there as well. So if you're into your wrestling, good news. If you can tolerate some ad works, you're actually getting your network at half price.
You can watch WrestleMania, the time trials for the Indianapolis 500, and every episode of The Office for $9.99 a month.
Bargain!
If you're a Comcast subscriber like I am, you get Peacock for free.
Yep.
Even better. So yeah, this is only for the Americans, may I point out, because I know a couple of the Europeans watch this show as well, but this is only for the United States, so don't worry about that if you're in the UK like me watching wrestling. It's helped me get through this lockdown, to be honest with you. But it's been fun out there. So yeah,
I'm excited for old man Bill to win the Rumble.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Oh, God. Moving on.
Please.
I do not want Goldberg winning shit in the year of our Lord 2021.
Also, I do!
Somebody has to. Also, we've got another, shall we say, out of left field new owner in NASCAR we had to mention real quick. Man's international now. Mr. Worldwide. Pitbull now owns a NASCAR team. As you do.
He co-owns the brand new Trackhouse Racing team that was started by journeyman driver Justin Marks. Pitbull is now a co-owner of the team that will be fielding Daniel Suarez for this 2021 season. And yes, they have a charter, so you don't have to worry about Daniel Suarez missing the 500 this year.
Yeah.
Also, I just say that all of 2311 Racing sponsors, Bubba Wallace's team with Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan, all those new sponsors are nice, and I hope the social media manager of a certain ointment company has to read those sponsorship announcements every time and just gets like the worst case of irritable bowel syndrome.
I've missed this. What sponsors are this?
It's like DoorDash, Dr. Pepper, McDonald's, it's Columbia Outdoor Wear, Root Insurance. It's like a bunch of recognizable sponsors have come in to sponsor this team.
Nice. When are we getting the Bubba Wallace 35s?
When you win the raffle on the Nike sneakers app.
Oh no. not good again.
Good luck with that. But hey, very
yeah, you
very
know,
cool.
15 years ago, if you told me on a list of NASCAR owners you'd have Pitbull and Michael Jordan.
First, I would say, who the fuck is Pitbull? Yeah.
And Michael Jordan, isn't he already running a bad racing team?
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Got some great shoes out of it.
Yeah.
Le Mans, Daytona, and Le Mans Hypercar.
Well, we talked about that last show.
We did.
Yeah, but we got the Toyota now. And... Yeah, the Toyota is just an LMP1 with extra steps, like we kind of figured it would be.
Yeah,
it's a hypercar.
I have to say, thank God the greenhouse is not as big as it looked in the renders, and no Scuderia Cameron Glickenhaus, you're gonna take your L like a man.
Would it be in poor taste if I printed out the results of the first race wherever Glickenhaus finishes, and I drive up to the team shop in Sleepy Hollow, New York, and I just slide it under the front door.
King, I will donate $50 to the charity of your choice if I actually see video footage of you doing that.
I'll match it.
Like, there you go. $100 to charity if King takes the piss out of Glickenhaus. I want video footage, and if you do it, we'll put $100 to the charity of your choice. Oh, let's make this happen.
This bet does not reflect the views of dailysportscar.com. I just need to say that for the
and just for clarity, one caveat. Only doing it if Glickenhaus finishes out of the points. If somehow they score points, then I'm not doing it, because then...
I think if you finish, you get points anyway. Like, no, there's you need not to like hit a huge glut.
It's like a 70% 70% minimum distance, and you get points.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh. If they can't get to 70%.
Oh, okay. Listen, you heard it here first, folks. $50 from me, $50 from Buckley.
That also includes a withdrawal. If they withdraw from the race, if they don't show up, I'm doing it.
I was going to say, that's very important, because while Toyota is pounding out miles after miles after miles, Glickenhaus seems to be very proud of posting their car in build, which it has been for 2 months.
But you don't understand, Cam. It's the tub that they built, because theirs is a real prototype car and not just a Dallara Aurora cub with a body kit.
Yeah, and when Porsche takes him to a ballroom blitz in 2023, I'll be sure to remember that.
But it's not a real Porsche!
Neither was the 96 or 97 Le Mans winner, but they still won Le Mans.
Oh, dear. So you heard it here first, King. King's going to be driving down the factory for charity, possibly. We'll have to wait and see. But All I'm saying is that's going to be peak Instagram content right there if that happens. Like, well, don't worry, King. We'll pixelate your face like on Top Gear. But then the pixelate just
Well, I'm not breaking any laws. Like, their team shop is located, like, on a public street. You can literally just walk up to the front door.
I was going to say, they're going to have a camera outside. They're going to have King's ass in 4K.
I'm not breaking any laws.
Wait, he's walking up to the factory naked? Oh, jeez. In this winter?
Oh no.
We're bringing this podcast into disrepute already. I want to talk about the Rolex 24.
Yeah,
I do too.
I'll be back in half an hour.
we'll be good with that. Let's talk about LMP3. Oliver Askew and Spencer Pigot are in a car under by Riley's Motorsports, and they're going to win. Now on to GTD.
Unless they get completely destroyed by a GTLM car, because, LMP3 and GTLM have a very bad working relationship on track. The GTLMs are so much faster in a straight line, and the LMP3s are so much faster in the corners. There's going to be a crash.
They're going to make the same lap times
in different opposite ways.
And one thing about GTLM is that is all professional drivers and Cooper McNeil, and LMP3 is mostly amateur drivers. So you have drivers of varying skill levels all going about as fast over a lap time in different parts of the track. Dre, you saw some of that qualifying race.
I did. It was a thing.
Do you expect a lot of... I don't want LMP3 to be the new meme class.
It's going to be the new meme class. I'm sorry.
We've been through this with LMPC, which was the laughing stock of sports car racing.
But those cars were hard to drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the rain came down during this quarterfinals. It was a changeable conditions race. It started out wet and ended up dry towards the end. And let's just say the LMP3s did not bask themselves in glory with the amount of spins and accidents that we saw in what was only a 100-minute quarterfinal race. It was, shall we say, ungood. So, I'm with King on this one. Call forth the meme class. That's what it felt. Yeah. Sorry, RJ. Get your mans. You're going to have to get your mans on this one.
It's okay. European and Asian Lamas still love you, LMP3.
Somebody has to.
This GTD field is stacked, Cam. Tell me about some of these cars to watch. Because there's a lot of good ones. And a lot of names we'll recognize, even if you don't watch endurance racing.
I would love to, but unfortunately my computer won't zoom out the spotter's guide, so it's all very, very large.
That is at spotterguides.com.
Yep. We have Lamborghinis. We have Porsches. We have Lexi. We have NSXs. We have BMWs. We have Aston Martins. Again. Please, God, go better than last year. Please. I don't know. What car do you think is one to watch here, RJ?
One car that really intrigued me is the number 88 Team Hardpoint EBM car with Earl Bamber, Catherine Legg, and Christina Nielsen. That's about as good as a Pro-Am team as you could get.
Team Hardpoint has been ungood in most series. So for this one, they decided, well, let's get one of the premier Porsche teams to run things with Earl Bamber Motorsports. Earl Bamber Motorsports, run by Earl Bamber. They won Bathurst in their first race. Earl Bamber's pretty good. Christina Nielsen is really good. Catherine Legg is also really good.
That's a good team. I like the look of some of these Ferraris. I especially like the look of Scuderia Corsa, who have Ryan Briscoe and Ed Jones. Newly signed Ed Jones as part of their team.
The pride of Dubai strikes once again. Another one, Ben Keating going for seven different cars in 7 years, driving one of the Aston Martins with Richard Westbrook, Charlie Eastwood, and Max Root.
It's a bingo card for him.
I also, if for no other reason, not just that Colton Herta's there, but also IMSA lifer Bill Oberlin and the number 96 Liqui Moly Turner Motorsport BMW.
Yeah, Bill Oberlin Eternal. The man just will not stop. Colton Herta. who was he's been great at this race. Should come over for more sports car rounds. Robbie Foley and Aiden Reed.
We're spoiled for choice here. There's like 20 GTD entries.
Well, you have to mention the Vassar Sullivan Lexi. Especially the number 12 with what? Zach Veach? Never heard of him before.
Jackson Bell?
Yeah, the team that somehow destroyed the field for almost all of last year, yet came away with neither championship, is back once again to try and defend the honor that was taken from them.
Oh, and in the 14 car, they just have Kyle Kirkwood, Oliver Gavin, Aaron Tielitz, Jack Hawksworth. You know, a guy who's now ingrained in that team in Hawksworth. Tielitz and Kirkwood, who are both Road to Indy prospects, some really good ones. And Oliver Gavin, who spent about 20 years at Corvette Racing being their captain. That's a solid lineup on paper.
Yeah, they got solid lineup in both their cars. They should be in the thick of it.
Yeah. And Magnus Racing with the Racers Group 2009 lineup of John Potter, Spencer Pimpelli, Andy Lally, and Mario Farnbacher. How long are these guys going to keep driving?
I think the more important thing is that they painted their car like the Mach 5 from Speed Racer.
You're goddamn right they did. Looks great.
Oh, man. This is going to be less of a meme class. King, who you got to win it?
Oh...
Don't say whichever manufacturer gets the BOP break.
Speaking of which, we can save it for the end, but the final BOP for the Rolex 24 just dropped on Sports Car 365.
Well,
oh, nice.
I gotta go. I have to. I'm obligated to go with King Kirkwood and Car 14.
Ooh.
I will nail my hat to the mast of the number 5 Pfaff Motorsports Motul Porsche in the Lumberjack colors, captained by Porsche factory drivers Lawrence Vantor and Matt Campbell.
And I have the same pick as RJ because you know what I'm about. I'm a homer. That's a great lineup, and the Lumberjack Porsche, as it's affectionately known, has been pretty fast.
You got a champagne-soaked hat from them at Petit this
years ago. It's right up there, and it still faintly smells of champagne. Thank you, Zachary Robichon.
You're welcome. Zach Robichon's also good. LMP2 is an interesting... LMP2 is healthy this year, at least for the 24. There are more teams in it. There are actually more than just Orica chassis in the field, believe it or not.
Yeah, during the qualifying race, we had the very strange proposition of an Orica not leading an LMP2 race for what feels like the first time since 2017.
Yeah. I'll run through some of the notable names in some of these cars. Number 8, Tower Motorsport has Matt Vatsivier, Gabriel Aubrey, Timothy Bure. Number 11, Wynn Autosport, captained by Tristan Nunez and Matt Bell. Number 8, Era Motorsport, the Crayon Express with Ryan Dial and Paul Lipchitan. Number 20, High Class Racing Car has Robert Kubica and Ferdinand Habsburg in it. Number 29, Racing Team Netherland Car has Gato Vandergarde, that memeing fuck, and Charles Malaisie of Super Formula. The number 47, Settlar Racing, Dallara P17, as famous at iRacing.com, captained by former Ferrari Driver Academy prospect Antonio Fuoco. Rick Ware Racing is... still a meme car, and they've got Austin Dillon.
At least this time Sven they Miller. Didn't try to bring a fucking Riley Multimatic.
Yeah, Ligier's step up. The Wins PR1 Matthiessen Motorsports car. Ben Keating's in this one.
And also so Ben Keating driven. Ben Keating is doing double duty in double classes.
Dragon Speed's two cars have Renus VK, Ben Hanley, and Garrett Grist in the 81. Devlin DeFrancesco, King's buddy, and Christopher Mies in the 82.
We should put a note on this LMP2 class. There's quite a few names here who are very clearly here to put on an audition for LMDH.
Yeah.
Like one Audi factory driver, Christopher Mies.
like Matthew Jaminet, who was going to drive this race before he got a positive coronavirus test and has now been replaced by Sven Mueller, who could also do well in an LMDH.
Yeah. And, I'm picking the 52 car.
Really?
We're going. Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, it's the best looking car on the grid.
Oh, that livery slaps.
It's the purple, pink, orange Wins car. You know, the cursed one that was on the Ford GT that we thought won, but didn't.
Sometimes, RJ, you just have to take the wins with the losses.
Ah, there you go. If nothing else, Era Motorsports crayon car looks nice, but it struggled during the qualifying race. LMP2 is going to be of a much higher standard this year. It's not going to be the meme class this time out. I'm glad for
that.
Let's hope. I'm sticking with Dragon Speed to win this race.
I don't know. They're probably not going to win. But the high class number 20 car, they're my boys for this race.
Ooh, the Habsburg Kubica.
Oh, can't imagine why. I was like, who's in that 20 car? Is it Habsburg? And I was like, yeah, there it is.
What's very funny is that clearly the IMSA graphics package was not designed to have a name as long as Ferdinand Habsburg's
full
name.
I did see that.
Yes. It is very smushed.
Yes, Ferdinand Habsburg Lotharingen. Not designed.
No, not his full name, but some of his name.
His full last name.
I don't know if you noticed, but they changed it back to just Habsburg midway through that broadcast.
I did see that. That was
like,
funny.
We can't deal with this. GTLM next?
Yeah, let's go to a slim, trim, buff, cut, ripped, chiseled, and...
much here to talk about.
Because it's most two Corvettes.
The most extreme Gran Turismo race you've ever been in.
Yeah. It's a whole ass Gran Turismo 4 race with six cars. The number three Corvette. Antonio Garcia, Jordan Taylor, and Nicky Katzberg. The new for 2021 lineup in the number four Corvette of Tommy Milner, Nick Tandy, and Alexander Sims.
Ooh, a very British Corvette.
That is a very British Corvette. The number 24 BMW of John Edwards, Jesse Krohn, Marco Wittmann, and Augusto Farfus. Darth Thick, as we call it. The number 25 BMW of Connor DeFilippi, Philip Eng, Bruno Spengler, and... My God, is that Glock? It is!
Oh my goodness,
Timo Glock! Back in a white and red car. Oh God, oh fuck. Returning for one-off events are the number 62 Ferrari of Risi Competizione, piloted by Alessandro Pierguidi, easy enough for me to say, Davide Rigon, Jules Gagnon, and James Collado.
Pina.
I hate this man. What is wrong with you?
And the lone Porsche in the field, no longer factory, but full of factory drivers after Ferrari supposedly would not sell them a car. WeatherTech Porsche with Cooper McNeil, Jimmy Bruni, Richard Leitz, and Kevin Estra.
Corvette Racing looked good, and they, along with WeatherTech, are going to be the only full season entries.
WeatherTech? I didn't even know that WeatherTech were a full season entry.
I think it's just those three cars.
Yeah.
Because Risi's only doing part time, and BMW is only doing the endurance rounds. GTLM is not in a good way right now, folks.
No, and I think GM has already spoken quite openly about it, not only about potentially entering LMDH, but they're looking at GT convergence with the GT3 class as soon as 2022.
It is a damn shame because IMSA's GTLM class in particular has been, pound for pound, the best racing in this series every year.
Dare I say, since the good old days of GT2, it's been some of the best racing, period.
I have to go back to the American Le Mans series.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like those days of GT1 that were once Corvette versus Aston Martin and Ferraris, now we're down to potentially just two Corvettes and a Porsche, not even a factory Porsche for the full year. We can't have it like 2009, where for half a year we just had two Corvettes running alone in class.
It won't be like this for this race, but you have a feeling it's going to be like that later on in the season in the non-endurance rounds.
My pick's a number four car.
It's hard to bet against the four.
So they ran the field over in the qualifying race. Nick Tandy is just as epic in a Corvette as he was with Porsche.
The Tandy man can.
And yet, Antonio Garcia is no slouch. We know Jordan Taylor's good at this. And Nicky Katzberg's better than we think. I'm picking the three car.
Because, and what you should also keep in mind is this is the one race in the whole year where the BMW comes good. Because the BMW might be a pile of shit, but just like the good old BMW Williams of the day, they have somehow figured out how to harness the power of the sun under their engine cover.
It's a meme car, and BMW's board hates that, allegedly.
BMW's board hates making good cars.
BMW hates making heated seats as not a service. We talked about this.
And right. naming crossovers as crossovers and not sport activity vehicles.
And designing good front ends for their passenger cars.
The premier class. DPI.
Hit him with it.
We have some new faces for this year. Chip Ganassi Racing, back in sports cars, but with a new team. With a new car, the Cadillac DPI VR, featuring drivers such as Scott Dixon, Eternal, Kevin Magnussen, and Renger van der Zanden.
Kevin Magnussen looked like he had been let off the leash early in that qualifying race.
Yeah.
It's no hyperbole to say that he could be a game changer in this category if this car holds up all 24 hours.
Yeah, Magnussen is here to show that he is the future of GM factory sports car racing.
And just as well Chip Ganassi is, because of course, this is, the car is what one might consider bland. It is literally just the Cadillac branding on primer.
It's understated, I'd say.
No, but the thing is, it's the Cadillac branding, but they removed all but four colors. Gray, white, black, and red.
Guys, you missed out on the LMP1H era. It's over.
It's over, guys. You're late.
They're a good entry. I mean, Chip Ganassi's always one to bet four in one race like this. JDC Miller Motorsports with the I Can't Believe It's Not Action Express, number 5, featuring King's Boy, Sebastian Bourdais, Tristan Vautier, and Loic Duval in a French all-star lineup.
Yeah, this is a big I Can't Believe This Is Not Peugeot lineup.
Very 2009 here. Very 2009.
No shit, two of them used to drive the good old 908.
Yeah.
And Tristan Vautier is still good.
Yeah. But Tristan Vautier, immensely underrated in IndyCar. Sebastian Bourdais, well, we know what he's all about.
His reputation precedes him.
He's won this race overall, if I recall, a couple times. Loic Duval, I know, has won Le Mans and both the Supers in Japan. I know he's good.
Yeah, Loic Duval, of course, long time ago, Le Mans lap record holder, right before his Peugeot decided to combust. A new car and a new driver lineup for Wayne Taylor Racing. Ricky Taylor is back with his father's team. But wait, there's more. Felipe Albuquerque, Alexander Rossi, and Elio Castroneves. Defending champion Acura flavor.
Easily Acura. The best looking car in the bunch.
God, that livery slaps.
Tony, Discord backer Tony, is mad that the Konica Minolta black and blue looks better on this Acura than it did on the Cadillac last year.
It's different. I don't know if it looks better, but it definitely looks very, very good.
That's like the same sentiment of you hating your ex because your ex looks hotter with her new foot.
We've all done it.
I was gonna make a comment about how hilarious it is that Ricky Taylor and Felipe Albuquerque are back as teammates in the same DTI after their bust up a couple years ago.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, these two hated each other.
Yeah.
And of course, Alexander Rossi, we know what he's about. Elio Castroneves, we know what he's about, and he's the defending champion. And one of only a couple of carryovers from last year's now deceased Penske Acura program.
Yeah, no Penske this year.
No Penske this year. We'll see what happens in the future with that. The winner of the qualifying race, the team that was disqualified from qualifying for the qualifying race, Action Express Racing, the bane of Acuras.
Yeah, the big AX.
The big AX, featuring some returning faces. Felipe Nasr, Acura Bane, Pipo Durrani, and Mike Conway, Conweezy.
But wait, there's more! Order now, and you also get a reigning NASCAR Cup Series champion and road course maverick, Chase Elliott, at no additional cost. Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, Chase Elliott, Chase Elliott's good. Unfortunately, he's good at road course racing NASCAR cars, which don't corner, don't stop, and have nothing but horsepower. He's already kind of admitted that he's the weak link in this team, and I assume his drive time will probably be pretty minimal.
But damn, still really all cool the quali race headlines say it's Chase's team.
Shut up, media. Speaking of NASCAR drivers coming over to race a sports car, the number 48, Ally Cadillac Racing. Jimmy Johnson.
Boom!
Confetti. Partnered with my boy, Simon Pagenaud. Tony's boy, Kamui Kobayashi. And Mike Rockenfeller. This lineup's good. This livery's good.
This I believe is a one-off, or at least just the endurance rounds. We'll see, but if you like star talent, you can't go wrong with this
much
car.
More than that car.
And especially when goodness. Almost all the other lineups only have three drivers, they have four.
Yes and no, because the last of the three driver lineups is next. The sole Mazda in the event,
yeah,
the number
Mazda
55. Yeah, Mazda, let's see how the car lasts this year. Jonathan Bomarito, Oliver Jarvis, and Harry Ticknell. Please don't hit an Acura this time. Please. Yep. I beg of you.
You guys are the basket, and your engine are all the eggs.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it.
King's just in full Stephen A. Smith mode for the last 10 minutes. Like, what's going on here? Like, can you tell we've missed each other for the last, like, month or so?
Gotta get back in the rhythm.
Oh,
back in the rhythm.
Speaking of back in the rhythm, back in the prototype class with Acura. Meyer Shank Racing, featuring Curb Agajanian. Olivier Pla, Dane Cameron, Juan Pablo Montoya, and AJ Allmendinger.
That's solid.
It's a solid. Compost of delights.
What sort of phrase is a compost of delights? What are we doing here?
It's like, Penske doesn't need Juan Pablo anymore. We'll take him. Or Dane Cameron, too. Oh, Omdinger ain't doing anything. We'll take that.
Yeah.
It's very just good. Very good lineup. Also a very good-looking car in the pinkest of the TPIs.
Remember, there is no cure for AutoNation.
Is there a cure for SiriusXM?
Podcasting.
Be the change you wish to see in the world. This class is very good. There's a lot of talent here. And, of course, during the qualifying race, there was relentless claims of sandbagging and teams not really showing their true pace.
Because it wouldn't be an IMSA race without BOP gamesmanship.
course.
Of course not.
Do I pick the? Do I pick Wayne Taylor to three-peat here?
The problem with that is, I look at Chip Ganassi Racing, who've won this race before, many generations of car ago. I look at a driver like Scott Knutson. I look at drivers like Kevin Magnussen, Ranger van der Zande, who both have a point to prove. And I look at the fact that the Cadillac DPI VR might be the strongest all-around car, especially at this track. And that's why I'm picking them to win on debut, with their very understated cream on the outside, clean on the inside, Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing, Cadillac DPI VR. That's my pick, and I'm sticking with it. If anybody else wins, hey, that's fine too. I love entertainment.
Sure, why not?
Gang.
You already know who I'm picking. I'm going to pick the number five car.
oh, predictable.
My God. He's such a homer. He's such a fucking homer. Honestly, to being completely honest, the five is probably my secondary pick because those are three really great drivers in, again, a car that has been undefeated at this race, outside circumstances notwithstanding.
Mm.
But last year, I mean, for the 10 car, Elio Castroneves and Ricky Taylor, just once they got their early season niggles out of the way, just destroyed the field. And then you add Alexander Rossi and Felipe Albuquerque, both very accomplished drivers in their own right.
Ooh, we just about done here, fellas.
Oh, Adrian, you're not going to pick a winner?
Do you want to throw in a vanity pick?
I'm going to go with King's pick on this one. I'm going to hitch myself to the wagon on this one, just for shits and giggles.
Bourdais, Vautier, and Duval picked by one half of this panel.
Vive la France!
This race starts officially at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, January 30th. And since it is a 24-hour race, I don't need to tell you, because you know that I know that you know that this race ends at 3:40 p.m. on Sunday, January 31st.
Indeed. That's, I love the days to put in
May
the
everyone, may the weather not drown everyone this year. Mm. May everyone get home safe. And may Harry Tinknell not blast a Mazda into an Acura in the bus stop.
24 hours.
Praise be to Rooftop Ray.
24 hours.
And very important, as we finish this up, balance of performance.
Oh, boy.
Bop, bop, bop.
The M8 GTE has received a 20-kilogram weight penalty after the roar. No changes to the Corvette C8R or the Ferrari 488 GTE Evo. The Porsche 911 RSR19 has been handed a 5-kilogram weight break. No changes to GT Daytona. And the Cadillac DPI is the only DPI to receive a change. They have to use their standard front fender inserts. I don't know if that means more downforce or less downforce. They don't specify. And an LMP2. Oh my god, they BOP'd an LMP2.
Isn't it like, it's almost a spec class!
Yeah, near is enough. They've allowed the Gibson-powered Ligier, well, they're all Gibson-powered, that's redundant, Cam, a reduction in minimum wing angle after severe straight-line speed struggles at the roar.
So the 51 gets to stay in it.
Yep. Overall, that's not many changes, and I don't know. We'll see what it does. Thank God they nerfed the BMWs, because supernova in a straight line.
20 kilos is not gonna take away their straight line speed advantage. I'm sorry.
No, but it is gonna cripple them in the infield even more than their car already does.
Yeah. I'm going to look forward to watching or listening to as much of this race as I can manage before I inevitably pass out of exhaustion.
I look forward to not doing that because I'm a complete fucking masochist. We'll stay up for all 24 hours and then have a horrible day at work on Monday.
We're a healthy bunch on this show. We're a healthy bunch. Right, let's get out of town here. We'll be back to talk about this in 2 weeks' time, because next week, well...
Why gotta wait 2 weeks?
Well, unless we do a double recording next week, because, to be fair, a lot of us are off anyway, so I'm sure we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we're still in the major off-season, so we're at this point where we record new episodes every other week, except for specials, or unless something, like, wild happens.
Yeah, exactly. So, in the meantime, I've got to get the DVD out, because,
DVD?
Well, you know,
bitch, we're watching this on video high density.
Ooh, the good shit. yeah, it's been asked for many a time.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. We're not saying the name of the film we are watching.
I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Now that's just a giveaway.
Yeah, let's just say we've made a bit of a running joke about this, and we'll finally be making ends meet on that in a couple of weeks' time. So, you asked for it. Until then, places you can find us one more time are on youtube.com/motorsport101, facebook.com/motorsport101, Twitter @motorsport_101, our handles are on the screen, in the description, or at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, and at CBuckley917. All the details on the website at motorsport101.com. Check out the draft if you haven't already, that was real fun. And until a couple of weeks from now, we'll talk about the Rolex 24 and watch some film. No, seriously. Like, that's what we're doing in the off-season. You got nothing better available. Don't worry, friends.
It's not driven.
Thank God. Until then, I've been Dre Harrison. They've been RJ O'Connell, Ryan Eric King, and Cam Buckley. And until next time, thank you very much for watching and listening. And sayonara.
Happy 2021, y'all.
Bye.
What's so happy about it?
Consequences might actually be given out to
GameStop still joke. Trading at 336.
Jesus
that's,
Christ.
That's bullshit, because they would only give me $30 for my GameStop stock when I trade them in the GameStop.